on inside the Beltway, you might lose track of what's going on with foreign policy, but you'd be a fool to allow that to happen because everything that goes on with foreign policy can have long-term implications, sometimes decades. We're going to get a lesson today from Professor Richard Ebling, an AIER senior fellow and the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Good to be back, Steve.
Always good to have you here. We're going to discuss Franklin Roosevelt, Joseph Stalin, and Yalta in February of 1945 and how they carved up Europe and planned the future of the world. But as we were talking in the break here, you know, Winston Churchill was the guy who was screaming, the Soviets are not to be trusted. They're going to do, we can't trust them. George Patton felt the same way, but they were ignored. And FDR, we're not sure if he was in particularly good health at that time, fairly frail from what I can understand. And did he give in to Stalin too easily in February of 45? Your thoughts?
Well, I think that this was a mindset that Roosevelt had had long before that. During the New Deal years of the 1930s, one of his confidants, when they wrote a book after the war, said that Roosevelt had said in 1934, 1935, that he thought the Russians were wonderful because they wanted to do for their fellow man, while Americans just wanted to selfishly do for themselves. And then in 1943, Roosevelt had first met Stalin at the earlier conference in Tehran, Iran. And he was in better health then, 2 years earlier than Yalta. And he had a secret meeting with Stalin at that session where Churchill was not present, Steve.
Right.
And Stalin said he wanted to have the portion of Poland that he had annexed with his deal from Hitler in 39. And he wanted to continue the annexation of the three Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, which had been part of that secret deal with Hitler. And Roosevelt said, well, he knew that if the people in the Baltic states had a vote, they'd want to be part of the Soviet Union. So why bother having a vote? Of course you can keep those countries. But then he added, this is on the transcript that the State Department released after the war, Steve, that Roosevelt said, but I have a large Polish and Lithuanian vote in Chicago and Illinois. So please don't say anything about this.
Right.
He was just handing away peoples and countries and just keep quiet because I need the votes at home.
Yeah.
So typical. Yes, politician. He was frailer at Yalta, but I don't think it affected anything.
Yeah. So what about Winston Churchill? I mean, he warned about the Soviets. He thought that it was going to be a British control of Europe in large part after the war. And he was snubbed completely and left out in the cold and deeply bitter about it because he thought that FDR and he were close friends, but he got railroaded.
Yes. Roosevelt basically viewed Churchill as a secondhand partner in these deals. And in fact, the fact is the British were heavily dependent upon American military and financial aid, even before Pearl Harbor, when we entered the war. And then when the war continued, obviously, we had soldiers over in England bolstering their military support to the British leading up to the invasion of Normandy in June 1944. So in Roosevelt's mind, Churchill was a friend, but in the back seat, because in the front seat, he's making the deals with the really important first-rung strong hand, and that was Joseph Stalin, who he greatly admired.
But why was that? I mean, here's the thing. Because not only did he put the British second, but FDR put America second because he allowed the Soviets instead of the American Third Army to take Berlin. I mean, when you look back at some of these, George Patton and the Third Army were on track to get into Berlin far in front of the Soviets. Patton had defied the odds several times to move his army faster and more effectively than others. And for a long time, they had Monty in charge, which infuriated Patton. And then they let the Soviets take Berlin. It made no sense. So FDR was not just guilty of putting Britain second, but putting America second at that point. Why?
Yeah, because he had this delusional thought, Steve. If you read his biographies and these, released transcripts, after the war and everything, is that he really believed that the United States, as he saw himself as the leader, and the Soviet Union through Stalin, would bring the world peace and harmony. In fact, In fact, when he came back from Yalta, he had a cabinet meeting. He's telling his cabinet members, you know, his impressions. And he said, you know, I like Uncle Joe. That was his nickname for Joseph Stalin. I like Uncle Joe more every time I meet him. You know, there's something of the Christian gentleman in him. And he told another advisor, a former ambassador to the Soviet Union, you know, if I give Joe everything he wants and I ask nothing in return, he'll trust me and he'll work with me for a world of peace after the war. I mean, FDR lived in some kind of la-la land.
Yeah, clearly.
And this is when he had his mental faculties. You can say he was getting sick at the end. He died in April, a couple of months after the Yalta conference. But the fact is, this is the way he lived in some type of delusional world that he and Stalin could remake the world like a global New Deal.
Delusional, following the socialist path is what it sounds like to me. We're with Richard Ebeling. He is a professor at the Citadel, of course. And why such interest in this now? Again, we look at the 75th anniversary of the alleged liberation of Auschwitz, when really it was just handed from the Germans to the Soviets, and one group of prisoners was exchanged for another. They all died as well, by the way. Joseph Stalin killed more than 50 million of his own people, maybe significantly more. I don't see how FDR could have missed all of that, but somehow he did.
Yes, because Roosevelt was what he was. The fact is that he believed in planning. When he started the New Deal after being elected in 1933 and coming to office, his first New Deal was all centralized government planning. Businesses were forced into mandatory cartels. The government was setting prices and production levels. The same with agriculture. An industry was called the National Recovery Administration. With agriculture, it was called the Agricultural Adjustment Act. All economic freedom was gone. And to be honest, Steve, if it hadn't been for the Supreme Court, that in 1935, in a set of Supreme Court decisions, basically declared this centralized planning of the U.S. economy by Roosevelt to be unconstitutional, we might very well have retained a centrally planned economy in a very rigid form, not different than you saw in either Mussolini's Italy or in Stalin's Russia.
And this is the backbone of the hero of the Democrat Party, because this guy is held up as a hero to the Democrat Party time and again, as you know, Professor. And frankly, it's shocking. He is a socialist clown, much in the image of Woodrow Wilson, the first big socialist clown to become president. And this is the damage it does long term. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, and this is his legacy continues domestically as well as in foreign policy.
Sure.
Because both Bernie Sanders and Cortez, that socialist elected the Democratic Party into the House in New York, have both said that their ideal is Roosevelt's call in a speech during the war for a new economic New Deal of government planning, government guaranteed jobs,
right,
government control of industry and prices. So, in fact, his legacy continues because at one level, he's an inspiration for the worst of the leftists in the Democratic Party today.
Professor Richard Ebeling, AIER Senior Fellow, is the BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. And he's also a guy that gives us a great education. Thank you, Professor, as always.
My pleasure. Have a good day, Stephen, to your viewers. Yes.
You've seen the headlines. Clean water has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best home water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier manufacturer of whole home water systems and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves homeowners statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
The holidays are over, but the Roxor sale keeps rolling. Get $1,000 off 2019 models. No payments for 90 days. 2019 base models start at $15,999, but you can also combine that with special Roxor financing for additional savings. So whether you want to hit the trails or put it to work, it's even easier to get into the side-by-side unlike any other. Hurry into your Roxor dealer today. Restrictions apply. See your local dealer or visit RoxorOffroad.com/offers for complete details.
goals. When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hydration isn't a sometimes thing. It's an all-the-time thing. Good hydration is proven to improve performance and prevent cramping. Good hydration starts when you get up in the morning and lasts all day. Develop a plan for good hydration all day long and up your game. Visit the MHSAA website and click on Education for more information. A public service message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.